All right. Hello. This is Matthew and
this is Gabe
and
Ryan,
and we are here to talk about the importance in Yosef's time in jail before he is appointed and, you know, goes up in the rankings in Egypt.
Right.
So my opinion of it all is, why was he sent to jail? That makes no sense. He could have just started the process then with Hashem's help, proven his worthiness. The process of getting up to being in charge of the court and, like, all of what he does and helping out with the famine and being important, because if Hashem had just helped him out in the beginning when he first got to Mitzrayim, and he can go and talk to Pharaoh and prove his worthiness right then and there, what's the issue? Why wouldn't he have just done that? Like, why would he have gone to jail for so long just to, like, read other dreams that Hashem helps him read?
Well, I think that there's a lesson to be taught with that, in that, so he goes to jail and he meets these two people and they have their problems and he resolves them, you know, whatever, that's great. But then, years later, 2 years, Pharaoh starts having these dreams, and Pharaoh tells all these people about his dreams. He doesn't know what they mean. And then one guy says, oh yeah, there was this guy in prison and he was able to teach to interpret our dreams. He can interpret yours. See, that wouldn't have happened unless he went to jail. And because of that, if he didn't go to jail, Pharaoh would never have cared about him. He would never have known about him. It would have been like, okay, who cares? There's this one guy somewhere, whatever.
So I wouldn't be 100% if in saying that Pharaoh never knew about him, because he was like working very closely with Potiphar. So he was definitely known by somebody in Pharaoh's family. Mm-hmm. And made to, like, some extent relevant because, you know, Potiphar wanted to do things with him that he was not okay with. And,
well, Potiphar's wife.
What?
Potiphar's wife,
yeah. My bad. And, like, that's big.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can discount saying that, you know, Yosef was irrelevant in the beginning. And also, to me, when everybody's talking about it, and the big theme of the Torah, and just such an important thing in Jewish life, is how much power and how great Hashem is, why couldn't Hashem have just said, zip, zap, zoop, you know, here are the dreams, this is what you need to tell Pharaoh, like, make it right. Like, Yosef could have been just, you know, working one day, and Potiphar had a dream, and Yosef comes up and says, here, tell me your dream, and interprets, and whatever happens in that dream happens during the day. Potiphar could have been like, whoa, that's incredible, and suggested Yosef to Pharaoh later.
Well, So I think there's two things with that. One, if Pharaoh did know about this person, Joseph, who could interpret dreams, wouldn't he just go to him first immediately as soon as he started having these dreams? Like, if he was so... if he knew this person, he would go to him first, because why not?
Well, I mean, not yet, because he didn't know he could interpret dreams. He only uses this power when he gets to jail. I'm saying,
so that means that he should go to jail.
Right, but I'm saying, what if Hashem presented an instance where outside of jail he learned a dream, he found a dream to interpret then and there, rather than, you know, spending so much time, all these years in jail? We could have just done that in a few days even.
Well, yes, but also Pharaoh's dream still wouldn't have happened for another 5 years, something like that, a large number of years. So then, you know, there's still that.
Fair argument. But that could have happened earlier too.
Just move everything earlier, just zip through it as fast as possible.
Yeah, I mean, important issue for me is, you know, wasting time in general, like that speech we had yesterday. But like, that's not wasting 30 minutes. That's not waiting like 30 minutes on a STEM talk. I'm talking, this is years that I think could have been avoided for Yosef. Like, I can understand it shows patience and it shows this and that, but it's not like Yosef hadn't already learned this. He was thrown into a pit by his brothers. taken all the way, sold, like, dragged to Mitzrayim, put in slavery. Like, he wasn't, like, he didn't need this huge life-changing experience to really, like, help him view things differently.
Well, I think he might have, actually, because if you think about it, with his brothers, he was hated by them, and he was intolerable. But then we see this transition later with Pharaoh liking him and really supporting him, and all these people supporting him and wanting to bring him to high places. So I think that maybe that was sort of the effect.
Here's a question I have for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that without the high ranking of, and this is just coming to mind now,
sure,
it's not something we've been learning, but do you think with the high ranking of Yosef that he gets from, you know, doing all these dreams and helping out everybody in the famine, do you think that had his brothers seen him not working as a court leader, as a famine food distributor, do you think that his brothers would have respected him and wanted to, you know, hug him and say sorry and all of this?
So you're saying if he didn't have this high status, would the brothers want to hug him and care for him?
Yeah. And do you think that being in jail is important? Do you really think that being in jail is his direct line to that status? And his direct line to, you know, getting acceptance from his brothers, which is obviously something very important.
Well, I don't think that the status alone is what gave, is what made the brothers start respecting him. Of course, that does help, but I think that over time people change, and you would see that change once you start talking to the guy.
You don't think they felt threatened? And then by the second after they learned they were not going to get killed, and one brother was not going to be taken every time and have to go back and forth, the second they saw that, oh, we know him, that's Yosef, now we like you because we know you have power.
That's a fair point.
And my other argument is, that's some extent of power, but he's also got these better powers. He's got Hashem. Why can't he just go straight through the process? Like, why can't it just happen faster? It makes no sense.
Here's a point to ponder, I guess. Let's look at an example from later in time with Moshe and the other Pharaoh, all right? God could have just easily said, all right, you know what? You're done. Let's get the Jews out of here. Let's go to Israel, get Judaism, all of that. But instead, as you see, Pharaoh like was hardening his heart. He's like, oh, no, we can't do that. Which shows that human emotions and the human mind are very independent things, and they can't be controlled, even by God, in a way, I would say.
I mean, wasn't Hashem directly controlling Pharaoh there? He was hardening his heart.
I thought that Pharaoh was hardening his own heart.
Mm-mm. Each time that Moshe brought up another point and brought up another plague, Hashem would harden Pharaoh's heart so that another plague could be used against the Egyptians. Or at least that's what I remember from it. But I think you were onto something else where I could sit here and argue a similar argument and saying, why didn't that go by faster? What did the Jews learn from waiting for 10 plagues to go by when they could have just had one bad plague and zipped out of there?
Well, what I think is that people... I had the idea a second ago. People are going to do... Human interaction can't be controlled by God. That's what I'm going to say. Is that our decisions that we make are more our own decisions than the decisions that God makes for us, I would say.
How can you say that and still there be the knowledge that God knows all? If God knows all, it means he knows what you're going to say. And if God has all power, it means he can change what you're going to say and change the future. It's hard for me to listen to somebody saying that we have our free will when everything is mapped out for us in a way somebody else can see it. I've never been able to reach a good conclusion with somebody about the argument over free will because my brain cannot, I can't understand.
Well, here's what I would say. The way that I view it is that, yeah, he can see what we're doing, and yeah, he can control it, but he chooses not to, all right? It's like, we have probably 99% free will, but only if something like catastrophic is going to happen, something that he really feels like he needs to jump in for, does he actually jump in? That's what I would say.
That's a fair point. And I can understand why that's like an opinion, that he wants to let us have as much freedom as possible. But do you think that he has... Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, so we are back from our break. This is Gabe.
And I'm Ryan. I'm new.
Yep, Matthew Kaplan couldn't be here for the second part of this podcast, but...
Too bad we couldn't get God on here.
Yeah, that'll be our next special guest.
Yeah, God. Jesus.
Whoa. Different God. Okay, anyway, so let's get back into this, shall we? Alright, so we are just still talking about Yosef in jail, and it's really an interesting part of the Torah, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's,
You know, we've never seen anyone locked up before. I mean, we have, but... I'm pretending we haven't. Continue
well,
on what you're saying.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, I interrupted you there.
No, you're fine, So, what's interesting about...
You say that, but you're going to yell at me.
Why am I going to yell at you?
I don't know, just because maybe we've had some trouble recording.
Oh, no trouble. Anyway, sorry about that. Why do you think that Yosef was able to sort of write, you know how it states that in the Torah that he was sort of like became someone of importance in the jail, like he was I forget the wording, but no,
I think I said he had clout.
I did not think I said that.
he did have some pretty Gucci clout.
I forget what it was, but it was something like he had a high position in the jail.
Yeah.
How do you think he obtained that?
I think that he was...
What was that?
So, yeah, I think that he was, I think he was just a good guy to the guard.
Just a good guy?
And he, helped out. He was, watching over all the prisoners. The guard could trust him. The guard really liked him,
Well, you know, he was a Jew, and he was really...
Are you accusing the guards of being anti-Semitic?
No, what I'm saying is that...
Are you trying to get him fired?
No. Oh, my gosh, Ryan. No, what I'm saying is that, you know, he was a Jew, and he was very faithful to God. And because of that, you know, he was very... He held himself in,
He held himself in a holy manner.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure everyone else is holy, too.
Right, exactly. And so he had this manner about him, and he was respectful. And we see that a lot, and it's... You know, what's interesting and also worth mentioning is that, you know, it's really a big change from how we first see him. It's really some character development.
Yeah, and before he had trust. He was always someone that watched over someone else. In the beginning, he watched over the brothers, which they did not like, but...
Yeah, but, well, what I was referring to more is... Well, that's a good point, but what I was referring to more is about how the brothers didn't like him and how he annoyed them and how there's all these problems, but we see at the end, well, towards the end right here, that he was very respectful towards them, and it's just...
Well, what do you mean respectful towards them? Are you talking about...
Well, he was not towards them, but he was a very respectful person. He's really grown as a person, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that maybe...
So becoming a slave helped him.
Right.
Are you saying slave works help build character?
Whoa, okay, no. What I meant was...
Are you saying being a slave helps build character?
No, being in prison might, though, for some certain types of people. We talk...
What types of people, Gabe?
Here's what I would like to add. We did talk about this with the first part of the podcast with Matthew Kaplan.
Oh, we did?
We did.
Are you saying slave work builds character?
I'm saying that being in prison can help improve the lives and mentality of some people.
Do you think that... Wait, no, so that's modern. I was... Oh, so that's slave... If you... the prison system. Not the slave system. Basically the slave system, but...
Well, they're very different.
Yeah. But yeah, it definitely helped build his character. I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah, and I think that without this whole... See, you might... we made the argument... Matthew Kapp was making the argument before that this whole part about him being in prison wasn't important. But to further add to that, I'd say that this is what really built his character. And without it, he might not have been the same person you see later
story. Without being in prison... Prison gave him the edge to get to Pharaoh. Without getting to Pharaoh, he would never have been put in that position of power. And that Pharaoh would never have known about the 7-year... famine, 7-year prosperous
process period that was coming.
Exactly.
So being in prison helped his life. That's why I think we should all go to prison. At least once in our life.
Okay, well, I don't know about that now. But anyway. Like I said, it just helps with a certain type of people that have a certain type of mentality. But yeah.
So, here's where I was like
nearing the end of the podcast now.
I believe we are too. It's been good, Ryan.
It's been good. I've only been here for
5 minutes.
About 5 minutes. I think that was a good five minutes.
I think you added some very important things to ponder here. So, yeah. This has been the podcast. I hope you all enjoyed. And
I hope you didn't enjoy. I did not enjoy this. I regret doing this. And I'll see you later. My name is Ryan. His name is Gabe. And I'll see you tomorrow.